head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariat, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Welcome in again to the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding, back here for the 238th consecutive week. I really enjoy doing the show, and boy, I get a little bit excited when I have a really, really great show like the one I have for you today. My interesting guest, you're going to love. They have something to say. They're all timely, and I have a whale of a story coming out of J-Town about what's going on in at City Hall down there. So you're going to want to stay tuned for all of that and more about my travels and things that I've been doing. It's all going to be a very interesting Rusty Satellite Show today. First, I want to thank my sponsors who are doing some exciting stuff as well. My friends at Platinum Panel. If you go to platinumpanel.com, you can sign up to get on a Platinum Panel is a consumer research company, and they have some tests coming up, some taste tests involving food and, yes, bourbon. I said that. Bourbon. Bourbon testing. If you sign up at platinumpanel.com, you might be asked to come in and to a taste test and get paid for it. That's what they do over there to get opinions from the public. So go ahead and sign up today, platinumpanel.com. And tell them Rusty Satellite sent you. And also, my friends at Passport Health Plan are always doing great things in supporting Rusty Satellite Show and other ventures of mine. I'm doing a website called PassportWellbeing.com. I encourage you to go check that out. We just posted a story about Rob Locke of Habitat for Humanity over there. And it's a really great site over there, and a lot of good things going on, especially in the West End, involving Passport Health Plan. So that's what's going on there. And I want to tell you that coming up in the second half of the show, one reason I want you to stay tuned for this entire show, I got a chance to sit down with Senator Dan Syme. He's the Republican Majority Leader. And I often tell people, you know, I don't get along well. I don't think like most Republicans. But Dan Syme is a guy I can certainly identify with, and certainly can agree with him on topics. We're talking mainly today about cannabis. And Syme is sponsoring bills that would make both recreational and medical marijuana legal in the state of Kentucky, trying to keep us from being the 50th and last state in the union. There's already 30 states in the country that have some form of marijuana that is legal. So Syme sees it on purely a monetary benefit to the state. We are in a pension crisis. The governor seems to want to ignore that, but the governor seems to be more intent on cutting valuable programs than to bringing in new revenue. So anyway, Syme, a Republican, is not in lockstep with our Republican governor on a lot of issues. And so you'll want to stay tuned to hear from him what he's doing. He's very busy these days in Frankfort. I really appreciate him taking the time to stop in at an Applebee's in Fern Creek is where we met. So thanks to my friend David Toborowski for setting that up, and he was instrumental in making that happen. So I guess what I'd like to do now is let's get on with our first guest. And I'm very excited to welcome Karen Williams, the president of the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau, to the show. I've known Karen a long time, but it's the first time we really had a lengthy conversation. And, of course, the subject I wanted to talk with her about was Airbnb. She is a certainly an advocate as the head of somebody who's in charge of getting heads in beds in this city. It doesn't matter if they're hotels or Airbnbs. Karen is a staunch advocate for this, and is working to the city is in the process of coming up with a system whereby it will collect taxes from Airbnb hosts, just like they do from hotels. And Karen is also speaking. If you're listening to this on Thursday, she's speaking at the Jeffersontown Annual Meeting. I'm encouraging her to bring up Airbnb all she wants. As you know, I'm involved in quite a controversy out there in J-Town, a fight with city officials and the members of the city council. A story I posted on LouisvilleKY.com this week got tons and tons of attention, and a lot of comments were made there. So if you want to look that up, go to LouisvilleKY.com and look for the headline, "Despite Evidence, Misinformed J-Town Committee Unmoved on Airbnb." But Karen and I had a lot of other things to discuss. It is an exciting year in Louisville in 2018. We have the Convention Center opening up this year. The Omni Hotel is opening up. Karen was very excited about an announcement she was able to make last week involving the Louder Than Life and Bourbon and Beyond festivals and a new country music festival that's coming, and they are here for a while. It is just an exciting time to be in tourism in Louisville. So very excited to share that with you, and I'm going to do that right now. Here's my interview with Karen Williams.
I admit I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
All right, today I have a beautiful view of the Ohio River from the 23rd floor of the BB&T building. I'm with Karen Williams at the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Thanks for being on, Karen.
My pleasure, Rick. It's a pleasure to have you in my office.
Well, there you go. It's fun. I remember you used to have an office that was on the first floor of a crappy building.
Yeah, we've come a long way. We've come a long way.
Moving on up.
Right.
All right. Well, I know you got a lot of things on your plate, a lot of things going on here at the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Big news came out last week. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we had a big press conference with DWP Presents, which is Danny Wimmer Presents. These are two gentlemen based in L.A. that host about 16 really popular music festivals all over the United States. And it's anywhere from heavy metal to rock and roll. You know, they're in Chicago, they're in Columbus, Rock on the Range. Many people are familiar with their festivals.
Okay.
And so about 5 years ago, these guys came to us and Champion Park, which is right off of River Road. They love that park, and they said, let's do Louder Than Life, which is heavy metal. you know,
I know people who live in the surrounding area who heard the heavy metal for years now. They're used to it.
They're used to the sound. You know, they're a Saturday, Sunday music festival. But, you know, these guys know how to do it. You know, they produce festivals. They work with Live Nation. They know all the artists. So it's about really good music. Like this year they had Ozzy there. Mm-hmm. And normally their best artist is usually the one that comes on last on that Sunday night. But they're about good food and good entertainment. So when you go there, it's not concession food. Nothing wrong with that, but it's really good food.
I went to the Bourbon. They had the one called Bourbon and Beyond, and it was tremendous.
Well,
I mean, good artists, good food,
and that's what they started next. Bourbon and Beyond. So they came here and said, you know, we love Louisville. We want to do this next festival, Bourbon and Beyond, and it's about Bourbon and Beyond, meaning music, art, and great food.
So yeah, and it's weekends like almost back-to-back in the fall, right?
Last two weekends now in September, but the big announcement is that they are going to extend those last two weekends for 10 years, but they're going, in 2019, they are going to add a country music festival with top headliners. So if you can think about 219 for 10 years, the last three weekends in September will be sold out, because Louder Than Life brought 50,000 attendees, 14,000 room nights all over the community. Bourbon and Beyond, first time ever, 40,000 attendees with about 12,000 room nights. So, I mean, from a Convention Bureau standpoint, and the mayor to have 10 years, three weekends that fills all of the communities in Louisville, it was a huge announcement. Well, and they want to move here. They want to move their offices here. You know, because this is a very central location for all their festivals.
Right. And that park, I guess, there's some improvements coming down there, or traffic's kind of a nightmare.
It is. And, you know, just like every event or festival, it's our goal of the Bureau to make it as seamless, not only for the festival producer, but the experience of the guests. So they, you know, they're putting their money where their mouth is. They're actually working with Public Works to improve. They're spending their dollars to do things with sidewalks. We're going to work with them coming up this year and doing satellite parking, so you could maybe have a bus that'll take you right there. Okay. River Road's two lanes, so yeah. We're working all those elements out to make it a pleasant festival for everyone involved.
Okay. Well, that's just one big week for you,
series of events for you,
and it's all about at the Bureau here, filling room nights and getting people to come here and stay.
Yes,
and so you know, I've been involved in this issue with Airbnb, and I understand that some might think that hotels, people behind hotels would fight Airbnb, mm-hmm. Arrival, but you tell me that it's something that you are 100% behind.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, it's not a new phenomenon, first of all. And I'm on several national boards in my business. And, you know, 4 years ago when I first walked back in the door here, I said, you know, we've got to look to see this Airbnb market. And because, you know, all of our hotels, first thing I did was reach out to my hotels and wanted them to understand. And they and also because they're my constituents and my partners, and they totally understand it. They know that someone is going to, you're going to want to stay in Airbnb or you're going to want to stay in a hotel. There's options for everyone. What they wanted is the Airbnb to have the transient room tax, pay it as they do, which pays for our convention center, pays and helps us be able to go and attract sure. these festivals. And if they were in that same fair playing field, if you will, then all's good.
So you went and the Metro Council has approved these rules, and you're in the process of putting this system in place.
We are.
And we don't need to get into the
weeds on that.
Basically, in the very near future, all Airbnbs are going to be paying the same thing that hotels are.
That is correct.
And so that's great. So, so that's awesome. And we want to mention, anybody wants to come out and meet you, you're speaking at the J-Town annual meeting.
I am.
That's coming up right in my neighborhood.
Tomorrow night.
And I certainly encourage you to bring that topic up. There's a lot of controversy out there.
Okay. Well, I will. As the president of the Convention Bureau, I have to make sure that we are involved and engaged in all new trends, and Airbnb is the number one growth of all accommodations. So we want everybody in that fair playing field, if you will, and we will embrace the Airbnb.
Right. Well, I'm not going to ask you to comment on this, but the community of J-Town is trying to impose some weird laws to keep that progress from happening. And so anyway, so I'm involved in that. I'm interested to see what kind of reaction you get if you bring it up on Thursday night. And if you want to contact the J-Town Chamber, you can go out and sign up, and you can go see Karen speak.
I look forward to seeing everyone.
Okay. Now, I'm so excited because I drive around town all the time, mm-hmm. and I've been watching the Omni go up, mm-hmm. and I've been talking to people at 4th Street Live and the businesses around there. Everybody's talking about 2018. When that gets here, it'll be awesome. So what are you doing in terms of that?
I mean, I every day walk in. I mean, I love the city and tourism. Excuse me, but I will say 18, we have all been waiting for the last 2 years. 2 years ago, actually almost now, 2.5 years ago, we closed the convention center. And you can imagine, you know, very few cities close a convention center.
We're lucky. That was really kind of a gutsy move, I think.
It was, and it was scary for small businesses and restaurants around there. But, you know, I spent most of my time out talking to people, telling them we have plans in place to put heads in beds while that convention center is closed. And we've done that leading up to this period. But that new convention center, with the expansion and the renovation, is going to allow us to book 25% new business that we've never been able to attract before. So with that new business, you need new rooms. So it was the perfect storm, as you will. So we're getting, you know, 3 years ago in Frankfurt, trying to get this center expanded, renovated, the financing in place. We did that. And I'm working closely with our city officials trying to get the new Omni. So the new Omni will open in March of this year, 612 rooms, 225 apartments, unbelievable food court, a Heine Brothers. I mean, it's going to be an experience. You know, so you see a lot of hotel growth, not just in downtown Louisville, but you see it in the East End and you see it in the airport area. But, you know, I always have people saying, gosh, how many more hotels can you open? You know?
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, that's what I hear all the time. It's like, who's coming to stay in all these hotels?
Well, and I will tell you, so let me, the best way to put it in perspective. First of all, the Omni is 612 rooms. We have not opened a 600-room hotel or larger since 2005, and that was the Louisville Marriott.
Okay.
Before that, it was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to be able to attract these big conventions and to get this 25% new business that I said at the convention center, conventions want to come in and not use 20 hotels. They want their group to be in five hotels.
Okay.
So by the end of 18, we will have a new convention center and we will have 6,000 hotel rooms within walking distance.
Wow.
So it's huge. I mean, you know, it's everywhere. It's out in the East End. It's in the airport. We're opening four new bourbon experiences next year.
Okay.
So Louisville, when we're out selling, when we're out in the market or a competitive set of trade shows, Louisville is hot. We're on fire. So 18 is
well, it sounds
everybody's
great. Well, give me a hint. We're running out of time here, but give me a hint as to any of the big groups or what's a big sale you've made as a result of having the convention center?
Well, you know, they're all big groups to us. But what I can tell you that since we broke ground, and this is a way client, since we broke ground from 18 to the end of 20, our team has booked 300,000 new room nights that'll be convention people walking around the city. So restaurants, attractions will be very, very happy.
Yeah, they're good. Things are gonna certainly perk up.
Right.
And then, of course, I know before I let you go, it's January, so we're thinking Derby, right?
Yeah.
Anything special for Derby this year?
You know, Derby's always big. I always say Derby, we're fortunate. We have a Super Bowl every single year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my counterparts are like, oh, I'm hosting the Super Bowl. I get to invite. I have a Super Bowl every single year. But 18 is also huge for us. We're hosting the Derby, of course. The city shines, you know, the best 2 minutes of sports. But then in November, we're hosting the Breeders' Cup. So this is huge for us. So, and then we hope to have Breeders' Cup on a rotation. But to have two major horse racing events in the same year with all the growth and expansion is huge for Louisville and all of the community. It's not just downtown that this affects. It's all of the Louisville and Jefferson County.
Okay. Well, great. We got to wrap it up here, Karen, but I really appreciate you sharing all the great stuff that's coming to Louisville on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks,
and,
Rick.
We'll remind people they can come out Thursday night and see you in J-Town.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much.
Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. It comes out on Louisville.am.
And that was Karen Williams. Boy, she's got a great view up there at the BB&T building downtown. It is on the 23rd floor, and it looks out over the Ohio River. And it's really nice. It's really nice. And I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to Karen. I can't wait to go on Thursday night to see her speak to the folks in J-Town and see if they get any negative reaction when she starts talking about how great Airbnb is. It's going to be an interesting event. So stay tuned. I have Dan Syme coming up, the state senator, majority leader of the state Senate, who has plenty to say about cannabis, casinos, sports gambling, the ways to raise revenue in our backward state, I guess you would have to say, because we a lot of times on moral grounds or religious grounds, and we got a governor who invokes God and everything he talks about, they don't think these ways of raising money are viable. So anyway, you'll hear a lot more about that when I get to Senator Syme. Right now, I want to tell you a few of the things that are going on in my life. And boy, this has just risen to the top of the list in the last few hours. But it's hard to believe out in J-Town, you've got to understand how the city is set up. There is a mayor, elected mayor, and elected city council members. But the mayor gets to select like the city clerk and the city attorney. And we're going to talk a little bit about the city attorney, a guy named Skylar Ault, who, you know, I go back with a long way. He was the attorney that lost $7.4 million for WHS-TV when it was sued by Ed Hart and Kentucky Kingdom. I've had Ed Hart on this show. We've talked about that. And it was a story I wrote about, and Leo, I wrote a story about it back in 2006. And it was very clear to me that Ault was the key player in that court loss. But somehow he got hired as the city attorney in J-Town. And I'm looking into how that happened. But I will tell you, the thing that happened most recently is very, very disturbing. Because, as you know, my friend Chris Thieneman is a crusader of sorts on topics. One of his key topics is the role of police, and weeding out bad cops is one of the things he does. And Chris posts frequently on Facebook about that. But if you can believe it, Skylar Ault, who I'll tell you one more thing about him. He recently, when I posted, the first thing I posted about the Airbnb controversy in J-Town, he's the one who said comically that he thought that Airbnbs were havens for meth lab operators. I kid you not. He really believes that. So this guy is a little loosely hinged anyway, but the conversation he had with Chris Thieneman on Facebook last night, within the last few minutes, Chris has gone onto Facebook Live and said he doesn't accept Ault's apology, which he made only after threatening last night to break Chris's neck. That's right. And he's not a big guy. He's a 60-year-old. Ault likes to, you know, tell people on his Facebook page. He says he's a preacher of some sort, but you know, he is really a jerk, you know. And he jumped on Chris and had this long conversation on Facebook, public for anyone to see, in which he told Chris that he was going to break his neck. You know, he's trying to defend the police in a very bad way. He's trying to defend the police officers in J-Town, and you know, that's fine, but you don't have to go into personal attacks. And Chris in fact shared with me a private message outside of the of all the messages that are public, a private message in which this so-called preacher used expletives that start with the letter F and one that rhymes with my name but has a P in front of it. And he was publicly calling Chris out on this stuff. So I've sent a letter to the mayor, Mayor Bill Dereff, saying that Ault should be fired. And there's a lot of people on Facebook who are expressing the same sentiment on Chris Thieneman's page. And you know, Ault is wrong in so many ways. He's also wrong on the Airbnb issue. I've talked to several attorneys in town who have told me that the law that Ault has told the city council, he basically communicated to the city council. He says, hey, I found this in the land development code. It says that short-term rentals are not allowed in all of J-Town. Well, he's wrong. He's just flat out wrong. He's misreading the law, and that's going to come out very soon. And it's just this tirade on Facebook is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, if you know Chris, he was an All-American football player. He's like 6'3", 230. He's still in good shape. And Ault says he's going to come out and break his neck. Are you kidding me? That's a strange thing for anyone to say. I don't know. I asked the mayor in my email if J-Town has a social media policy, because a lot of organizations have policies that say that, you know, your employees can't say certain things and delve into certain subjects online on social media. I know cops have been fired for this. You know, it is really time for Skylar Ault to be dismissed as the city attorney for J-Town. This is unacceptable behavior, and I hope they the mayor pays attention and takes some action. You know, the worst thing to do, Mayor, would be to do nothing. to act like this didn't exist, that this didn't happen. But, it, you know, it's all there. It's all proven. And you know, it happened. Alt tried to had a lame apology for it on Facebook today. But there's no forgiving of this sort of offense. I mean, it's actually against the law to threaten someone in that way. Chris probably won't sue him, but he could. And he might, because Chris likes to sue people. So anyway, that's the big thing going on out there in J-Town today. I am just shocked that this whole thing happened. It's really amazing. So don't need to update you anymore on my situation. Nothing else has happened in terms of the enforcement of the Airbnb rules in J-Town. And there's been a lot of reaction. I encourage you to go to Facebook and look at my page, and or go to LouisvilleKY.com, where there's a lot of stuff. And I promise you, there's going to be more interesting, juicy stuff on that site in the very near future. All right. Well, last week I had a great time in here. I had Carolyn McLean as my guest co-host, and she's a delight, and she's somebody I'm talking to about doing some stuff in the food space here in town. And you know, naturally, we have to go practice. We went out to the Fat Lamb. If you're not familiar with the Fat Lamb, Dallas McGarity is the chef there. We got to talk to him for a minute. And it's become a very successful restaurant, despite the fact that Grinstead Drive right next to the restaurant is closed right now. They're doing some construction there, and it makes it really difficult to get in there. But Fat Lamb's right there on the corner of Grinstead and Barstown Road, and it is just really good food. We had I'm terrible at describing this. I wish Caroline you'd have come in and done the show, because I can't describe the food very well. But we had some fritters, we had a glass of wine, some sort of fancy fritters with spinach in them. She had the shrimp and grits, which I got a bite of, and it was really great. And I had a chicken sandwich, a very spicy chicken sandwich. It was really good. So there's a lot of great restaurant news going on around town. I don't know if you've heard some of the things. Like, I just picked up a thing. I saw that the Applebee's. You know, Applebee's, a lot of them closed in town. The one out on Stony Brook, they just opened as a Raising Cane's. They demolished the building, built a Raising Cane's there, and it just opened in the last week or so. The one on Barstown Road, near Taylorsville Road, that is has been closed and vacant for a while. It is going to be a First Watch. So remember where you heard that. And those First Watch business places are they're really great. They're really great. There's one on Hurstbourne Parkway and another one in DuPont. So anyway, that chain is expanding in town as well. So in other news, I guess people are interested in this. I don't know, but last week I went with my friends Mark Hebert and John Asher and Mark's son Andrew down to Western Kentucky, my alma mater, and saw the Hilltoppers play basketball. It was just a tremendous experience. The team down there is they're very good this year, and they put on a good show. Asher got us some great seats, so thank you for that. And I got to see my old boss, Paul Just, and a lot of the people. You know, Western's one of those places, things don't change much, and it's really great. And unfortunately, they're first in their conference, the CUSA, but they lost on Saturday after we went. We saw the good game. We saw them play Thursday against UAB, and they just played really well and won. I'll tell you, it's really a lot more fun than watching, you know, to watching U of L. Even though the Yum Center is a great environment, it's just that the basketball, I guess I just like it more. Maybe I just had better seats. That's probably what it was. And lastly, I don't know if you saw the big announcement, but Elton John is coming to town. Elton John is going to be at the Yum Center, I think, later this summer and all that. And it brings me a big smile to my face with Elton John. He had a recording called "Don't Shoot Me, I'm Only the Piano Player." Anybody remember that one? That was one of the first 5 8-track tapes I owned in my life. There was the Guess Who, Chicago, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Bachman Turner Overdrive, and Elton John, and it was really good. And then later in his career, he did an album that I just love, in the vinyl era, called Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy. One of my favorite albums of all time, and the title song is just it's just tremendous. One of his most overlooked albums, I think, in the Elton John catalog, but really great. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure it'll sell out. I'm sure I may try to get cheap tickets at the last minute and sort of slide in there late, but I don't know. I don't know. We might have to pay the big money to see Elton. I know he's had a lot of other music besides those two albums that I mentioned, but those are the ones that are closest to my heart and that I've really enjoyed a lot in my life. I'm also reading a great book, a biography of my man, Delbert McClinton, born in Lubbock, Texas. And I'm early in the book. He's 11 years old when the family moves to Fort Worth, and that's about where I am. Elton's Delbert, a lot of people ask me, how old is he? Because he seems, you know, he's been around so long. He's born in 1940, you know, so I think that makes him like 77, going on 78, still outperforming, and he's got just some wonderful stories of music history. I'm really looking forward to getting through this book. So anyway, well, let's move on. Dan Syme is waiting in the wings. I tell you, I've kind of wanted to have Dan on the show for a long time. He's friends with Chris Thieneman and David Tobrowski, and he's when I was growing up in the South End, you don't believe this, I grew up like six blocks from where he was living. He ran a pizza joint called Milano's on Strawberry Lane, and used to go there all the time. And he lived on Esplanade. I lived on Alger, if any of you know that part of the city. And it was nice to reminisce about that. But I'm really impressed with Syme's courage in terms of going up against the governor and saying, you know, governor, we cannot survive financially with this pension crisis. All these other states, like Colorado and California, all these other states are making a lot of money. These casinos across the river are just, they've got great roads, great amenities over there because they've got casino money. The Kentucky is just missing the boat on these opportunities to raise revenue. And Syme, give him credit. He is standing up and going for it. And, you know, whether or not any marijuana bill passes, I heard on the radio the other day, 80% of Kentuckians are in favor of medical marijuana being legal in this state. Yet these Republican legislators from the sticks continue to block and vote against it. It's amazing to me. They'd like rather go broke than okay something that is flourishing in many, many other states. So anyway, I don't need to make that argument here. Dan Syme makes it pretty well, I'll tell you. He's a great interview, and he was very patient with me. I had a little equipment problem, and he was very patient. And even though he's a busy man, he had to get to Frankfort. We met at 11 o'clock in the morning at an Applebee's over in Fern Creek, and I think you're going to enjoy this interview. I hope you do. Here it is.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am. in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
Today I am at the Applebee's here in Fern Creek with Senator Dan Syme of the State Senate. You have a busy agenda these days, don't you?
Yes, I do. We're very busily trying to pass a cannabis bill to legalize cannabis in the state of Kentucky.
Well, that is a big and controversial issue, without doubt. What is it that makes you confident that this could actually happen here in Kentucky?
Well, budget desperation. We need the money. You know, we have a pension crisis in the state of Kentucky, and the governor says we got to come up with $1 billion of new money. He has no plan that I know of to create new money other than raising taxes. And I have a plan, I believe, that would raise in excess of $400 to $500 million of new money.
Wow. Wow. Well, that is a big dollar amount. The opposition to this passage, I guess, in the Senate and certainly I've heard the governor say it absolutely won't happen while I'm governor. What is the basis for the opposition, you think?
Well, I think it's fear, but you know, obviously, 30 states in the state of Kentucky, 30 states in the U.S. have legalized it. All of Canada, 6 countries in South America, basically all of Europe. New Zealand is about to come online, and I understand New Hampshire is about to come online. So I don't know where the fear is at. Obviously, 30 states have figured out that they can generate revenue on this issue, and I don't know why Kentucky wants to be too late smart on this issue. So
okay, yeah, that's one of your phrase for this, Kentucky too late smart. It also applies to the casino gambling as well.
Well, we were too late smart on the casinos for years. You know, for those that don't know, Kentucky does have 4 casinos. They're just all on the wrong side of the river. You know, and I mentioned before, I have a son who lives over in Georgetown, Indiana. Every time I go over to visit my son, he thanks me for the roads that us boys in Kentucky are building for him. So again, too late smart to the game. So
okay. Yeah, they do have nice stuff over in Indiana where the casinos are. In terms of cannabis, the source of the opposition, a lot of it is, I guess, moral. I heard an interview on the radio this morning. A guy was opposed because of crime statistics. I mean, you've studied this issue. I'm sure you have some answers to those questions.
Well, I would love to legalize the product, put it out here, generate the money that we need. It's out there anyway, and then we can take those dollars that we save chasing someone who wants to smoke a joint, if you will, and go after our crime victims. By the way, in Jefferson County alone, we have something like 30,000 outstanding felony warrants, and wow. It'd be nice if we would chase the bad guys for a change.
Yeah, yeah. Because and the other factor in terms of cannabis is Kentucky is a fertile area for growing.
Absolutely. We've known for years the slogan in Kentucky grows the best. And by the way, if you follow what we've done with bourbon, you know, right, Kentucky grows the best could be a worldwide product. We could just be swimming in new money. And by the way, this bill would create 15,000 new jobs. There was 18,000 created in Colorado. We're estimated 15,000 here. And I refer to those 15,000 jobs as jobs without bribes.
Okay.
You know, in other words, we don't have to have our economic development people bribe people to come to Kentucky. We don't have to get into corporate welfare. All we have to do is just get the hell out of the way. So.
Yeah, because I believe that was Governor Bevin's, I guess, signature get, right, where he had a company come in to the state and had to pay him.
We had to pay him to be here. And that, by the way, he was bragging about 17,000 new jobs, where I know where 15,000 is, and we don't have to beg him to be here.
Okay. Okay. Well, you and Governor Bevin, both Republicans, seem to have different points of view on a number of issues. What kind of relationship do you have with him?
Oh, we're fine. We talk. He's not bad people. He just disagrees with me. I wish he would have a plan to raise new money. I've got a plan. He has none that I know of, or at least he's keeping it a secret. So I wish he would come out and say, what's your plan?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that sort of sounds like an answer that would come from somebody who was interested in his job. And I know there have been signs around promoting you as a potential gubernatorial candidate. Where do you stand on that issue?
Well, somebody here a while back asked me if I was running for governor, and I said, well, I am teacher-friendly. But it's one election at a time. I'm up for re-election as a state senate, and the governor's race is another year down the road, and we'll talk about that after this election.
Okay, okay. Now, a lot of people don't understand the legislative process in terms of getting something like this cannabis bill passed, but this isn't the first time you brought it up this year, you know, it may or may not happen this time, but it's something I guess you continue pursuing till it happens.
Well, let me say this, those folks out there listening, don't call me if you're pro this way, pro cannabis. Call your state senator and your state representative. This is a team effort. It's not about just one individual making it happen. We all have to make it happen. And if you haven't called your state legislator or senator or representative, shame on you. And we can make this happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, certainly a good idea to be active. Let's talk about the so we're in the middle of the session. You're working long, long days these days. And what's going to come out of this session, do you think?
Well, the big primary issue at this point in time is the budget. As the governor constantly says, we're $1 billion short. He just had his State of the Union or State of the State address, and he said we're going to cut across the board 6% of all revenues out there, all agencies, and he's talking about 70 different programs he's going to cut. And I find it fascinating that he wants to cut, but he doesn't come up with any new money. Mm-hmm. And so that the budget is the big issue at this point in time.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, and in his State of the Commonwealth address last week, he did point out these 70 things, but those of us who know how it works know that the governor doesn't wave a magic wand and say these programs are gone. Do you think those how realistic is it about those cuts?
Some of them probably will be cut. Maybe some of them need to be, but I haven't looked at them. The most people don't understand that the governor's budget is just a proposal. The real budget comes out of the Kentucky General Assembly, the House and Senate, and we send him a budget that he has to live with. And so he has very little say once the budget gets over into the General Assembly. So.
Okay. Now, your process, I guess this goes on a while, but in terms of the cannabis bill that you've authored that includes medical and recreational marijuana, correct. What do you see as the path for that one?
Well, I'm guessing we got a 50-50 shot of having full cannabis, but I'm also guessing that the compromise will just be medical. And of course, the medical's fine. I don't have any problem with that. The trouble is it doesn't raise the money that the full legalization of cannabis does.
Sure. You know, so. Well, I wonder, because I know there are polls out, and there's a lot of sentiment within the citizens of Kentucky to legalize, but it seems to run into a brick wall with some of these legislators who I don't know if they're closed-minded or if they're just afraid of their constituency or what it is. I mean, when you talk to these people, why are they so adamant about refusing to consider?
Well, we tend to be backward on these. We tend to be we like to come in last. And it's about a selling of this thing. You know, the polls are running tremendously. The polls right now are running about 80% for the legalization of medical and about 63 or 64% in favor of full cannabis and growing. So if you're a legislator and you're opposed to this, you're opposed to what the majority of your people want to do.
Right.
So, and by the way, it is kind of a generational thing, by the way. So.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the over 70 crowd.
Okay. The ones that vote.
Well, the over 70 crowd tends to be, some for, but mostly opposed.
Yeah.
So the under 70 crowd is what's the big deal?
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of issues about that issue, I guess, and that's what we're grappling with in Kentucky. And, you know, I just don't know why in Kentucky we're so far behind those other states that are.
There's another issue coming down, and I often refer to my three pots of money, the casinos, the cannabis, and sports gambling is about to happen.
Okay.
And if I got an economic development team and Frankfurt is on their toes, they'll be all over that one, because that's another $200 or $300 million right there if we just jump right on that. But again, I'm concerned that we will lag behind. So.
then it's gambling. How would that, we just got a few more minutes, but how would sports gambling affect us? Or how would that take shape?
Well, first of all, Chris Christie out of New Jersey brought the lawsuit as a state's rights issue at the federal level, and the U.S. Supreme Court is about to rule on sports gambling. And several states have already are set up to handle this. And it's just one of those issues that if we're on our toes and we have, if we have an economic development team that understands and the governor's office understands it, we could be all over this very quickly.
Okay.
You know, and that would generate money.
Do you have a sense yet where the governor's going to be on this issue?
I can guess. I have nothing. I got zero on that issue at this point in time. Sometimes being in leadership gets a little lonely, you know, and you have a plan, and but we will get there. We will accomplish our goal, and we will legalize cannabis, and we will create these what I call jobs without bribes. It will happen.
All right. Well, great to visit with you. Thanks for taking time out of your day to come by and be on the Rusty Show.
It's always a pleasure.
All right, so I promised you a very exciting and newsy show, and I think I delivered. The most interesting people in the Ville are always showing up on the Rusty Satellite Show, and I'm Rick Redding. I'm glad that you are able to that you have downloaded the show and listened in. Tell your friends about it. It's really great. Almost 4.5 years now we've been having two guests a week on the show, and a lot of really prominent, interesting folks have sat with me as my guest. I want to thank my sponsors again, Platinum Panel. If you go to platinumpanel.com, you might be selected to be a taste test participant and get paid to sample food and or bourbon in the next month or so. So they really need to get a lot of people signed up. So go to platinumpanel.com and sign up. And my friends at Passport Health Plan are also a great sponsor of the show. They are moving to their corporate headquarters to the West End. And if you go to PassportWellbeing.com, you'll see a bunch of stories that I've written about what's going on with Passport. I will mention that coming up in the very near future is another project I've been working on. They're having a compassionate lunch for compassion. And it recognizes some amazing people in this town who have been recognized for their compassionate work in the healthcare industry. So it's a very exciting thing. I've written a lot about that on the Insider Louisville website, so you can go there and Google compassionate, and you'll see a lot of those stories that I put together for Insider Louisville. So thank you again for tuning into this show. I really appreciate Karen Williams coming on. Remember, you can see her if it's Thursday still and you're listening to this show. She's appearing at the J-Town annual meeting sponsored by the J-Town Chamber, and I'll be there in the audience and cheering her on. And Senator Dan Syme, you'll be reading about him in the Courier Journal and other media about what he's trying to get passed in Frankfurt during the legislative session that's going on right now. So, really, thank you again for being a part of the show. This is Rick Redding. I've got some great guests lined up for next week, and you'll want to tune in, and hear what I got to say then. Until then, this is Rick Redding for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
Airplanes into buildings every time.